Hello.
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 Happy Halloween to all you amazing people out there. We have yet another special edition of the Nerdstorian this month in celebration of the season. Why don't we just start calling every episode special?
It is special.
Let's do that. It's a thing now. All right.
Yeah.
Today we are talking zombies, and we are talking them hard. From Haitian legend to the silver screen to comic books, we are The Walking Dead, and this is the Nerdstorian.
Brains. Year, same thing.
Yeah,
Halloween.
it happens. Candy.
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 Kids asking me if they can dress up at school.
Yeah.
No.
Because it's what? It's disruptive.
Supposedly. But
Yeah.
didn't we dress up when we were
That's what
kids?
they say. We did.
Yeah. Had a parade and
We
everything.
did. Of course, that was pre-9/11 America.
Stop.
So, all right. I'm gonna tell my spider web story.
Your spider web story?
I am.
Okay, let's tell your spider web story.
Yeah. So, I have this awful habit this fall of walking into every spider web in existence. If it's there, I will walk face first right through it
He's not kidding.
every time. I've only gotten one spider on me from this, but that's beside the point. It's creepy enough as it is. So I was at work the other night, standing outside, and I looked down and I noticed a small shiny strand leading away from my body. I was no longer just the hapless victim of spiderweb walkthroughs. I had become a marked man. They're coming after me. Pretty hard. Scary, right?
I just think you're paranoid. Paranoid.
Or something like it.
So talk about what we did today, because it kind of goes with what we're doing.
Are we recording?
Oh, we aren't, aren't we?
Are we going?
I didn't realize.
Is this the show?
No, let's start
Are we
over.
making a show?
Because you're like
We can
moving
make a
your
show. It's showtime, folks.
Yay! Start over.
Yeah, so today we went to Newnan, lovely Newnan, Georgia, the city of homes, which might be the most redundant and useless nickname for any city
has a lot of old houses from like the
ever.
Victorian era.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, every
yeah.
city has homes.
Yep, it does. Anyway, the point
Anyway, they're the
is.
city of homes. We went to visit the good folks at Heroes Cards, Comics, and Games.
Awesome place.
Pick up a few new comics, get the new Walking Dead.
Woo!
So that's relevant, right?
Yep, totally relevant.
Further relevance, Newnan downtown was served as much of the filming location for the film Zombieland.
Well, where they find the Hummer and the guns, and they say, "Thank God for rednecks."
Downtown, yeah, it was a complete disaster area. They turned it into a total apocalypse,
Yeah, which is kind of funny.
yeah.
If you go in there on at like 4 o'clock on a Thursday afternoon, it's a total apocalypse without traffic, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Anyway, but it
But
also the
yeah.
high school in Noonan was used in last season of The Walking Dead, where Shane killed Otis.
Yes.
And the legless zombie was there too, which
The
my sisters
yeah.
know the guy, so.
That is also relevant.
Yeah.
Because if you recall, our theme today is zombies. I believe we
Zombies.
mentioned that.
Yes.
So, we're going to be talking about the origin of zombies,
Right.
how they transition to popular culture,
Yep.
how they tend to reflect current social issues, their
'Cause,
time, or not.
since I'm an amateur historian, this stuff is important. You know, think about it. we look at historical, like, stories. Oh my gosh. Fictional stories. The, you know, Sleepy Hollow, the Headless Horseman. It's totally, like, a sign of the time period that it was written in. Well, it's just a story to us, and it was very much part of their culture back then. If you think about it now, though, 100 years from now, people are going to look at how we talk about zombies and go, this is part of, and look at it as historical evidence, as primary documents.
Yeah, some of this stuff is sort of a cultural time capsule.
Yeah.
In its own way.
You want to talk about the first zombie movie?
Well, first let's cover the fact that the zombies originated in Haiti.
Yes.
They were a Haitian legend, probably from West Africa, before that.
Mm-hmm.
But notoriously Haitian. A dead body could be basically brought back to life to serve as a servant.
Or the other part of the legend is that they would take people and give them some sort of potion, these voodoo doctors and stuff.
Yes.
Would give them some sort of potion to make them look like they were dead. And they would have the appearance of being dead. They couldn't tell they were breathing, lifeless. And they would bury them, and the voodoo whatever would go and get them out of and make them their slaves.
Yes.
So that's voodoo.
And that's also the general idea behind the first so-called zombie movie.
White Zombie.
White Zombie.
From 1932. Starring Bela Lugosi.
Bela Lugosi, looking very Bela Lugosi-ish.
Yes. Okay, so this movie is...
This is one shitty movie.
It's a shitty movie.
It's really bad. I mean, I watched it mostly for academic reasons, but even then, it was terrible.
Yeah, well, like the whole plot summary of White Zombie is there's this one guy who owns a big farm home or whatever they call it, a plantation.
Plantation.
But it's 1930s Haiti, mind you, and he invites this couple to get married at his house. But he's in love with the bride, but she's in love with the other guy. So he hires...
Well, she's going to marry him.
Yeah, so exactly. Yeah. But he hires this voodoo doctor played by Bela Lugosi, who has all these zombie slaves to bewitch her, make her look like she died, basically kill her and make her a zombie so that he could be with her forever. Not creepy at all. But unfortunately...
Life has other plans.
It doesn't work. Well, to the effect that the guy wants. She does become a zombie. And mind you, she doesn't look like a zombie. She just looks like the actress in full makeup, walking around staring off into space. That's what she looks like instead of, you know, blood everywhere and stuff. But...
And I know you're wondering, and I'll just put it to bed right now. There is not a single bit of zombie sex in the entire movie.
Yeah, no zombie sex.
I was incredibly disappointed.
But anyway, the whole thing with this movie is that they have to, you know, the hero of the movie is the groom, and he has to come and save her after he realizes that she's not dead, and the zombie or the voodoo master or whatever he is trying to kill everyone and take control of her and blah 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 blah, and it's about an hour long of pure tripe, but it's important because it is the first zombie movie.
It's the kind of movie they sold to teenagers based on the salaciousness of the poster.
It's an exploitation. Big hands, wide eyes, and basically saying, you know, she's doing...
Women. I believe it was pre-code. Was it pre-Haze Code?
Definitely pre-Haze Code.
Okay.
And if you don't know, pre-Haze Code basically made everything bad in movies. You know, you couldn't have... a divorced woman, really.
Yeah.
So, yeah, without it being scandalous. But,
So how does that comment on social issues? One scene that comes to mind is the voodoo doctor has a stable of zombies working for him doing something.
I think it was processing sugar.
That, right, yeah.
Yeah, processing sugar.
Yeah. So in a way, probably inadvertently... it takes on the issue of slavery in among white settlers in Haiti.
He's indiscriminate about who his slaves are, though.
Yes.
Yeah, it's everybody. I saw a priest.
Yeah. And they have no. They had no idea what a Haitian looked like.
Apparently, none. Clearly. Nobody spoke with a Haitian accent.
No.
Not one person. Nobody spoke French.
And they had some...
But they made sure they let you know it was in Haiti.
They had some black people that looked like West Africans. And then they tried to make the native Haitians... They took white people and just browned them a little bit.
Yeah.
Like... Just sort of lightly sautéed.
And let me just say this. This movie, honestly, was... It wasn't... It was considered trash even then. It was a very independent, low-budget... And not good independent. Like, very low-budget, very trashy movie. And it was Bela Lugosi... I think it was a production company that he had money with. That he was a part of. But, I mean, Bela Lugosi is this voodoo doctor that grows up in Haiti. But, of course, Bela Lugosi is from what country?
Like...
Romania or Hungary. Yeah, no, he's from somewhere. Hungary. He's from Hungary.
One of those diehard villain countries.
Yeah. So, so he, you know, it's very much, the accent is very thick.
Yeah.
But, you know, just remember it's...
Take our word for it. There is absolutely no reason to see this movie.
No reason to see this movie.
You've heard all you need to know about it right here.
Yes.
I put a spell on you. Because you're mine.
So let's move on to probably what I think everybody would probably say starts the modern love of zombies.
And that is...
The Night of the Living Dead.
Yes.
Classic.
Night of the Living Dead. Mr. George A. Romero's outstanding 1968 film.
Love this movie.
Really the foundation of the modern zombie mythology.
Love this movie.
As we know it.
Saw it as a teenager.
Today. Love it. I did too. My dad watched it with me. At a crazy young age. I think I was maybe 11. I mean, that might not be crazy to some of you people, but... I mean...
You were 11 in, like...
There was some really...
1992.
there's some really disturbing scenes in that film. For
totally disturbing scenes. I probably saw it when I was younger. I just don't remember.
Yeah.
So let's talk about...
I love the hell out of it, though.
Let's talk about this movie, like... This movie is great in zombie lore. There's no explanation to why.
No, yeah, it's not about
zombies
the why.
Exist. They're just there.
There are some. There's some speculation. They think it might be radiation from a satellite that's returning from Venus. They think it
divine might be punishment.
Divine punishment. Some sort of global pandemic,
mm-hmm.
plague of some sort of virus.
No more room in hell.
A space virus.
Space virus. Oh,
yeah. And some of those things we see, you know, in more modern zombie interpretations. Robert Kirkman.
Obviously loved the hell out of this movie, too.
Yeah, totally stole the virus idea.
Stole.
No, it's
lovingly okay. used because he yes, loves this stuff.
I do. I love the comic.
Yes.
Love the show. Everything's borrowed.
This movie just doesn't care about why. It's all about trying to survive the first night that the zombies rise up, the dead rise up, which is great. I mean, you got this house on a farm, basically, out in what I think is like Pennsylvania or something.
I think it is, yeah.
Yeah, and you have like a mom and a dad and their little girl who's sick. All they say is she's sick. And then you have, like, a young couple, and then a catatonic chick.
Traumatized, skinny white chick.
I think saw her parents or something killed, or I can't remember.
I think it was her husband or her boyfriend.
Somebody was killed. And then,
we did a lot of research. Can you tell?
Yeah. And then you have...
Preparation is the key.
We tried. We watched a lot of zombie movies.
Which is not that one.
No. Very hard to get.
Yeah.
Anyway. And then you have the hero of the movie, who, you know, he's like, you know what? Screw this. We're taking control of the situation.
Screw you, Hodges. I got my shotgun.
He's, yeah, you know, your
he's
first,
a badass.
He's your first black horror movie hero, basically. Like, hero anything, really.
He really gives us a window into the key to surviving the zombie apocalypse. Right. And that is to be just logical and...
Shoot.
Planning, plotting,
right.
Shooting, yeah.
So, like, you know, throughout the night, you just have horrible things happen. First off, they try to close the house off, and the dead are still, you know, what they find out with the dead is that even though the dead don't move very fast, that's one thing you notice is that they don't move very fast in the first movie. They're strong as hell. They can push some boards off some windows, damn it.
Oh, hell no.
And so, you know, you have, just everything goes wrong. Little girl gets sicker, so her parents take her down into the basement. Nah, she's a zombie. She eats her parents. And then, which is disturbing to see as a kid. And then young couple.
I saw that and I thought, like, one of two things is going to happen here. Either they're going to have to
kill her,
slaughter their own child.
Yeah.
Or she's going to eat her parents.
Yeah.
And her parents were not really pleasant people. So
it
makes sense that they bit it.
Yep. And then you have the young couple who try to escape in the truck, and that crashes and basically blows up. But what I find it interesting is that the dead start eating them even though they're burned.
Mm-hmm.
Which goes against what we think of as zombies nowadays. Zombies don't zombies like fresh.
Personally, I like a nice char on my human.
Yeah.
When I eat it.
But the zombies in this are like, hey, food. And then, you know, the girl, the last survivor, female survivor, the catatonic chick, dies, I guess, like, losing her, like, shit again. And she gets pulled, you know, the classic pull the chick through the window by the zombies. You know, they do it in Shaun of the Dead. They do it in Community. Everybody gets pulled through a window.
Yeah, it's just bound to happen.
It's kind of funny. It's like, wait.
It's fun to watch.
Move.
For that too. Yeah.
And you tell them to move and they never move.
It's cliches like that.
They never move.
That are a lot of fun.
But so they make it to the morning. He makes it to the morning and then you hear the shots and it's the police and they're shooting the zombies. He comes out and damn it, he's waving. He has a gun in his hand. He has a shotgun in his hand. And he's waving to them and they still shoot him. And say, nope, it's a zombie.
Spoiler alert. I guess that's a little late.
But it came out, what, 44 years ago?
What's not the statute of limitations alert on spoiler alerts?
A year.
Okay. What year is it?
2012.
All right, we're good then.
Yeah. But they shoot them. Think about when this movie came out, 1968.
1968 in rural Pennsylvania.
And the sheriff looks kind of like a good old boy.
Gun-happy good old boy cops, and...
They shoot...
A black dude with a gun.
Yeah, and they shoot him.
Yeah.
Even though he's yelling, I'm a survivor, basically I'm a survivor kind of thing.
They know he's not a zombie.
They know he's not a zombie, and yet he dies. But I think George A. Romero makes up for that in his later movies, right?
It's a tough ending.
By having, like, an awesome black character that does do awesome things.
And Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, yet again. You've got a cool-headed guy who's leading everyone to survival.
Right.
In a shopping mall, besieged by zombies.
Did the zombies start moving fast in the old version? Because I've seen the new version.
The new version took some liberties with that. No, they still just sort of amble about.
But still strong
in the mall. You don't want one to get their hands on you. No. Yeah, and if there are enough of them, they can break down, you know, the windows and doors and things like that.
Yeah.
But yeah. Romero's little diatribe on consumer culture.
Why did they try to
explain it in the remake. They went there because they had some sense memory. It was a place that they...
Zombies are smart.
What? They get smart.
True.
They get smarter as the Dead series goes on.
They learn.
And Day of the Dead, they're able to be trained a little bit. They're able to learn.
We're getting ahead of ourselves.
We are, yeah. But Dawn of the Dead... Yeah, we watched the remake in preparation for this podcast. It's been a while since I've seen the original.
Well, the original one came out in 1979.
Yeah.
78, 79. And, you know, it's, again, it's in a mall. You know, this is pre-Reagan, but you can kind of, it's the consumerism of the late 70s. You know, you have them walking through the mall and looking at stuff.
Yeah, it's the
there's
dawn,
a great picture.
The dawn of mall culture.
Yeah. But they kind of use that in Dead Set, the BBC miniseries. And they came out a couple years ago at the end where they're walking through the mall, all these zombies, just looking at everything. I think that person has seen this movie before. But, you know, they live, they it's scary, you know, the new one especially is
yeah, they
holy shit.
Zack Snyder. No, it's not Zack, yeah, Zack,
yeah, Zack,
Zack
Snyder.
Snyder. And yeah, I don't usually go in for Zack Snyder movies. And there were some things about this movie that were kind of crap too, like the smash bang editing. And
I don't know, I kinda like the fact that you better run fast. Yeah. Zombies were all on track. That's in high school.
Clearly, yeah, they were all runners.
Even the old ones.
Yeah.
Remember the old lady comes back. The old heavy set lady comes back, and she totally is like moving like whoom.
Yeah.
at people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's yeah. The guy from the what's the guy's name from Modern Family?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. He's kind of a douche.
Yeah. So naturally he. He gets killed.
He gets killed while they're trying to escape.
Yeah.
Then there's no statute of limitations on this movie because this movie came out like 8 years ago. So
it's been some time. Yeah.
But I saw this for the first time last week, and I was yelling every now and then, especially when the zombies start running at you. Holy crap! It's like wait, no. But the scene where she's
cool.
escaping from her house...
Better than I thought it was going to be. Yeah.
Was insane. Watching all the other houses.
Complete pandemonium in the neighborhood.
Yeah. And her husband chasing her and then, oh, wait, there's somebody else. I'm going to go eat them. It's crazy. But, yeah. It's again, it kind of makes the zombie... Modern zombie culture becomes more... I don't know. I guess everybody thought zombie culture is kind of cheesy from like the Romero and Russo stuff. You know,
it was
low budget, and then in the 2000s you start seeing more.
They wanted to sex it up a little bit.
High market, basically. Use more funds to make a better zombie product because they know they'll get people in.
And that was towards the beginning of the zombie craze.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, Shaun of the Dead
same year.
Yeah,
it's well beyond the point of saturation.
In 04. So we talked about Romero a little bit. What about Jack Russo?
Jack Russo.
Will is a little bit of an expert on movie stuff because he's a cinephile.
Yeah, he worked with George Romero on Night of the Living Dead. And they had some disagreements over where the franchise should go. So he went off on his own, actually became a fiction writer, and wrote some zombie novels.
Cool.
Which I've not read, but, yeah, his stories were very loosely adapted in what became the Living Dead franchise. There was, after Russo and Romero split, Russo took The Living Dead, the rights to that, and Romero took The Dead. And Russo, the story's based on, the movie's based on Russo's books, were really just, you know, teenage party horror comedy movies. They
horror porn?
Sort of, for its time, I guess so.
Yeah.
A lot of cool punk music in the movies. That was neat.
It was like, what, The Damn, The Cramps?
The Cramps were on there, yeah. It was cool in
get
that way.
Those demographics.
Yeah, they were definitely going for a very specific demographic with that. The zombies are also quite different.
What are the zombies?
If you're fairly well preserved when you become a zombie, you can still talk. You can still, you know, cognate. You can still pretty much act human, except that you have an insatiable
desire to eat things.
Yeah, for human
flesh. They're like freaking raptors.
Animal flesh. Anything you can find, really. Yeah. Return of the Living Dead tries to give us a reason for why all this stuff is happening. And it's a secret military gas called trioxin, which can animate old corpses. It's released in the beginning of the film. Which I think is kind of silly. How useful is that? I guess you could build an army with it. You can build an army of dead people.
Yeah. You can't. I mean,
are partially rotted and fall apart very easily.
So
you could build a very ineffective army of dead people
that are, you know, not.
It's dumb. It's dumb, but it's a dumb movie, and it's dumb fun.
Right.
Sort of. But it doesn't really have anything to say, I guess. I don't feel like no hero when I'm born. Said I'm born. Yeah, I'm born. I'm born to kill. Said I'm born. Yeah, I'm born. No, I'm born. Well, I'm born to kill.
So you have Russo's take. You have George A. Romero starting out with The Night of the Living Dead and going on, and then he starts letting his movies be remade. Although, come on, Ving Rhames is the cool, level-headed dude, and Dawn of the Dead just made that movie.
Super badass.
Yeah, super badass. So let's talk about where the zombie movies go away from the George A. Romero.
He is a badass's badass.
Yes.
Yeah.
So let's go and take a look at, like, now in the 2000s. You have, of course, in 2004, you have the Dawn of the Dead remake. Well, a couple years before that, in 2002, you have Danny Boyle's classic awesomeness called 28 Days Later. I know you don't like Alex Garland,
the screenwriter, quote novelist.
But you love this movie, and I love this movie.
I do. Nobody could have done it like Danny Boyle did.
Danny Boyle is just a master. I'm sorry.
He saved what could have been a pretty so-so script by Alex Garland.
Right.
I mean, this is the guy who thought it was a good idea to adapt Never Let Me Go to a film.
That's a hard one to adapt.
It loses everything.
Yeah.
Because the book is written as a sort of confessional that really plays it close to the chest and deals out details.
Put your water
just
down.
as needed.
Right.
But in the film, you know exactly what it's about from point one. So you just totally, you just destroy what makes the book so beautiful. But that's totally beside the point.
Okay. So 28 Days Later is basically in the first 5 minutes of the film tells you how it all starts.
I hate you, Alex Garland.
Oh my god. Anyway. Tells you all exactly how everything starts. It's a rage virus. It starts when animal activists try to free these infected monkeys and apes, even though they're being yelled at, don't do it. You have no idea what you're about to do. And of course, one of them gets bit, well, really horribly mauled. And then that person comes back.
Values.
Starts biting everybody else. And it's one of those things, you know, with zombie viruses, you get bit, you come back later after the virus kills you or something. This, you get any contact with fluid, and it's like 10 seconds.
Oh, that scene with Brendan Gleeson.
Oh my god.
So just
10
crushing.
Like 10 seconds. Like, he knows what's happening.
This tiny milliliter of blood drips in his eye. Oh, he knows what's coming, and he tells
he's yelling his daughter to daughter get away to from him run. And she's but anyway, we're so
that was
this
so
movie is like, you know, amazing. Paranoia and of a pandemic and the age of the global village.
I think
that's, I mean,
there's not much more to it than that.
They it spreads.
I mean, it's way Alex too Garland. Easy.
Yeah. This, you know, in the movie...
I'm gonna shut up about that.
In the movie, you know, they... The one guy gets, like, saves Cillian Murphy's character, you know, and he gets scratched or cut, and they don't know if he's been bit or not, and she immediately beats him to death. the female, main female character. And I just saw this movie and I had the names and I've totally forgotten the names. And I'm feeling like crap right now. But, you know, it's they're so worried about it because it's so horrible. And those suckers move fast, too.
They
move horribly fast.
Yeah.
But, and it's, you know, this first scene, like the first scene with Cillian Murphy, everybody might realize it, is awesome because he wakes up from a coma in a hospital.
That sounds awfully familiar. Yeah.
Wakes up from a coma in a hospital and immediately is trying to get home to his parents.
Where have I seen that before?
Don't be that guy. But he tries to get home to his parents, and he and a couple other survivors get home to his parents, and he finds that his parents have killed themselves because they think that there's no way for their son to survive this whole thing because he's trapped in London, pretty much.
Which brings us to location.
Oh, my God.
Amazing
I don't
shots
know what they did to shut down they, parts of London, but...
It must have been a logistical nightmare to shut down London. But the shots of the empty city are just chilling.
Chilling. Just it's very creepy. It's unfamiliar enough to be even more more unsettling. I mean, really unsettling. It's so British, and I love British stuff.
I do too. Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah. Yeah. You know, I bitched and whined about Zack Snyder's editing style and whatnot, but Danny Boyle's pretty guilty of that, too. I don't know what makes one good and the other bad, but it just doesn't seem...
You like Danny Boyle better?
It just doesn't seem as cheap in a Danny Boyle movie, and yes, I do.
But as it goes for zombie movies, though, it's, some people consider it not really part of zombie lore because it is a virus. It doesn't kill people. It doesn't reanimate the dead. The dead stay dead. When somebody dies, they don't come back. It's when you come in contact with the fluid that they come back. So one bite, one scratch, you know, you get contaminated by this illness. And I think the scary thing with the 28 days later is because of the, you know, how viruses advance, people do worry that this kind of thing could happen. I mean, come on. A pandemic in this world, an epidemic in this world, would just be devastating to us.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a real fear in our world today.
Avian flu.
Yeah. SARS.
SARS.
Bird flu. Yeah, avian flu, bird. Swine flu.
Swine flu. Both sort of.
I had a lot of students with swine
less
flu.
Less of a big deal than they turned out to be.
Right.
It demonstrates, but you know, that sort of thing could happen. That,
right.
The spread of something like that would be so rapid.
But it's not necessarily a zombie movie. It does work in as a zombie movie in the fact of you have things that are in control of themselves. They basically, it's like they do kind of die. They don't stay themselves.
Yeah.
They're not the same people. They're these cannibalistic. Because they will eat you.
It's more of a soul death.
Yeah. They will eat you.
Yeah. We didn't watch the sequel. I assume it's dumb. I don't know. You can email us at nerdstorian@gmail.com and tell us if it's dumb or not.
Yeah.
But I assume that it was dumb, so I didn't watch it.
Yes.
And that's all I have to say about that.
But it's just, I like the movie. It was great.
So
I was on the edge of my seat the whole time.
Yeah.
Okay.
We've come to a point in history of zombie film that parody is, of course,
inevitable,
and it was done before throughout the 70s and 80s, not in any
memorable way,
big way, but yeah, on the indie scene here and there, some cheapo horror movies, but nothing hits it the nail on the head quite as well.
My
as
favorite zombie movie
Shaun
of
the
time.
Dead.
Yes, Shaun of the Dead.
Edgar Wright,
oh my God.
And Simon,
Simon Pegg, Nick Frost.
Yeah, just. So funny.
I love those guys.
So it's funny and it's scary and it's exciting and it's and the characters are silly but they're believable. It's
totally believable.
It's got a little heart, of course.
The best part's the beginning.
I love it. Yeah, he goes through his morning routine first when the world is normal.
And they show up shot for shot.
They do. Yeah, they follow him. He's like everybody else on the street that he's passing. They're just going through the motions. They're sort of quote unquote dead inside already, and then everything goes to shit. Completely.
Totally.
And then the next day...
But he doesn't realize it.
The next day he walks out of his house, he goes through the same routine. But you keeps notice, his head down, doesn't notice a thing.
But you're noticing, like, the blood... The bloody handprints.
Yeah.
The people walking differently. The kid is missing with the soccer ball because he's a zombie now. The dog is missing. There's a hole in the windshield of the car that the guy was washing.
He's totally zoned out. That's not just because he's dumb or something. Like, I mean, just, that's how I go to work. I mean, that's how we live our lives. Yeah. Most of us think we have to work jobs.
But they don't realize it until they say there's a drunk girl in the yard.
He even slips on the blood when he's in the convenience store.
Oh my gosh, it's the blood print. There's the blood print on the window.
And he slips a little bit, doesn't look down, and he just leaves his change on the counter.
Which is good, because the shopkeeper is a zombie and he's coming out.
Takes his soda.
Yeah, at the same time.
Of course, he doesn't see him.
Of course.
He's gone by that point. And then, of course, the
random person running for their life past him.
Yeah, which he doesn't also fail to notice. Yeah. Just another day.
They don't realize it until they see there's a girl in the yard, and it's a zombie. Yeah. And they don't realize they think she's just a weird drunk girl until she falls on the broken...
They start laughing at her and taunting her, and then she attacks, and Simon pushes her off.
They take the picture, though. Remember, she's attacking she's attacking him, and he's like, take a picture.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then he realizes, and then he pushes her off because he's getting annoyed by her, and she impales herself.
It was awesome. And they of course, immediately think that they've murdered someone in cold blood.
Until she gets
back up, of course.
And it's like, oh, crap.
What do? They lock her in the shed? I forget.
No, they at first, because there's another zombie, too. They at first go and they start throwing his record collection at her.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole time they're throwing the records, he has to ask if it's okay he throws a specific one. Because he doesn't want his record collection to be messed up. It's the end of the world.
You keep the Aerosmith.
And you don't want your record collection to be messed up. But
he was sort of on the fence about Prince.
The whole time, though, before that, though, he's flipping through the news channels?
Yeah.
The news is still on.
Yeah.
The entire time.
And they're telling him exactly what's going on.
It's exactly what's going on, but he's not paying attention. It's
like boring
news. Video games. Yeah. But, like, the ocean moment of, oh, we gotta get out of there, and then the groom from the morning before, who appears in the morning after with his arm missing and blood everywhere, and then their roommate played by Peter Serafinowicz that guy
Worcestershire
who he was like, I got bit on the hand, I don't know, I'm feeling kind of sick, and then he turned into a zombie in the shower.
Naked zombies
But you know, they have to, and he's like, I gotta go get my mom, and I gotta go get my girlfriend. And he has to go get his girlfriend and save everybody.
Drives a Cherry Jaguar.
Ends up driving Cherry Jaguar, played by, I honestly think, the funniest character in the movie. Because he does it so well.
Bill
Nighy's character.
Awesome.
Who plays a stepdad, who, he's like, he gets bit!
He's got this sweet doting mother, who's... doting on her Who's husband
in
also.
Who?
Yeah, Harriet Jones, former prime minister.
We know. Sorry.
Yeah.
Doctor Who joke.
Yeah.
Anyway, but yeah, so he has to go help his mom and his ex girlfriend Liz, and I love it because like
Liz is played
his
by
dad gets his stepdad got bit. And he's like, it's nothing. it's just a flesh wound.
Yes, he is.
And he gets bit again.
He is Greatest Generation through and through.
He gets bit again, and he's like, whatever, you know, I don't care. And like, just get in the car kind of thing. Okay, we gotta go.
Another little band.
After they picked up everybody, you know, they picked up the girlfriend and her roommates, and he dies in the car after having a heartfelt, you know, you're my dad, I know, I just wanted to do the best for you. Yeah,
he has a contentious relationship with
and then he dies, and he's like, Dad's dead, and she's like, no, he's not. And it's zombie Bill Nighy.
Of course, undead.
Yeah. He's undead. And there's like metal music playing. Mm-hmm. Everybody's freaking out. But the funniest scene in the movie is when they're out of the car and they look and he's like, he's not himself. He's not himself. And then he reaches, and then you see Bill Nighy zombie reach over and hit the radio to turn the loud music off and just go, this is the funniest scene in the movie.
Dad.
Doing a total dad thing. But then
there's an awesome meta moment in that movie where they run into a completely different alternate zombie fighting team. They
have the exact same his ex-girlfriend Yvonne.
People. Yeah.
Sean and Yvonne.
Yeah.
Who is a actress who was in his show Spaced. One of part of his comedy group.
I can't think of her name.
What's really funny is it's completely just if you're a nerd and you paid attention, The line contains, the alternate line contains Martin Freeman.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And Sean's line contains the Don from the original Office, and he was Tim, or whatever?
Yeah, Tim.
From the original Office. Yeah. And so, you know British fans are like, look. Yeah. But, you know, the Hobbit's walking by. Yeah. And then, you know, you have the Hobbit, and then Scotty from Star Trek. Sorry, I had to do it.
Oh, right, yeah.
Lots of sci-fi actor characters in that, in Harriet Jones too.
So they're obviously involved in their own intense adventure.
Yvonne of the Dead.
Yvonne of the Dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they go to the Winchester.
Definitely a highlight. That's my last name.
Yes, mine too.
Yeah.
Wow. Anyway.
I'm not British in the least.
No, but they go and the end of the, you know, the other characters die, you know, are killed off in some way, and they get to the last two. It's Sean and his girlfriend.
It's quite
Liz.
A bloodbath for a comedy.
It is a very major bloodbath. I mean, they're surrounded by zombies in this pub. You have one character who gets killed by being pulled through the window.
Of course.
And his head ripped off, which they show.
Found
the head. And you can totally tell it's a fake head, which is awesome. You have the girlfriend of that guy running into the zombie crowd to save him. You have the mom dying after getting bit. And they have to kill her, like shoot her in the head. You have, what else? You have the,
she's so sweet about it, though.
She's like, oh, it's okay. Don't bother about me.
Shoot me.
And then you also have, like, the best friend sacrificing himself after he gets bit because he doesn't want, he wants his friend to survive. And they do, and they rise up through the lift, which is great. Rise up through the lift, and they're about to die. And who shows up? The military. With Yvonne in the Hummer.
None too soon. Yes, yeah, her zombie adventure clearly went much better.
Her zombie adventure was awesome.
Yeah, she got to ride on a tank. And,
yeah, but the whole thing is that the world gets past the zombie epidemic, the day of the dead, basically. But their zombies still exist. It's like 6 months later, zombies are still around, but you now have a commentary of what our culture has become with reality television and stuff.
Within a few weeks, it's totally no big deal anymore.
Like, it's like 6 months later.
Yeah. And everybody's used to it. They got the game shows
with zombies. They have news reports about zombies being cheap, easy labor.
Yeah.
Exploitation of the zombies.
It's totally our 24-hour news cycle. Culture, it just gets the seriousness of it gets swept under the rug, and it's totally no big deal anymore.
He has his friend locked in the shed.
It was a great ending.
So he can play video games.
His best buddy gets bitten, and
he sacrifices himself.
Yeah, and then he turns out Simon Pegg has him locked in the shed, and they go out and they play video games together.
Yeah, he has him chained up though. so he won't go and bite him. Because it is still a threat.
Yeah.
You could still be turned into a zombie, but it's under control.
It's just hilarious.
The little side note.
Urgency with which they forget how awful that was.
There's this Canadian movie, basically people joke, I think Paste Magazine, based out of Decatur, Georgia, near Atlanta, said it's pretty much where Shaun of the Dead left. It's about zombies being pets.
Hmm.
Living in a world with zombies. So
I've not heard of this.
I think it's called Fido, but it's like a 1950s style movie starring Carrie Ann Moss.
There's also a Cuban film that came out recently.
Juan of the Dead. Yeah, I heard a lot of cool things about it.
Yeah, it was. It's very satirical in its take on the state of things in Cuba.
With zombies.
It's pretty boundary pushing film from what I hear. I haven't seen it yet, but it's supposed to be.
We only have so much time.
Quite good. And no art house theaters.
No. So. Not where we live.
No.
So, Shaun of the Dead, classic movie. It's funny. There's a bar in, I think, Minneapolis that does, it's a theme bar of like horror movie and zombies and stuff. And all the, I think, bartenders wear a white shirt with a red tie. Like Shaun.
Nice.
Yes.
I want to go to there.
I want to go to there too.
Got to pick up every stitch. Must be the season of the witch. Must be the season of the witch. Yeah. Must be the season.
So let's move on to
from parody to
reimagining what zombie life is like.
Yeah, sort of continuing the zombie legend in ways that really haven't been done before.
My favorite TV show right now, because Community's not on.
And a really great comic. You know, haters gonna hate. It's super popular. Robert Kirkman is making money hand over fist.
And you know what? He deserves it.
It's still a really good series.
The comics are amazing, though.
Yeah, I like it a lot.
But The Walking Dead, in case you haven't figured it out. We're talking about The Walking Dead, filmed in our own, basically our own backyard. I used to drive past it every day to go to work.
The town of Sonoya.
Sonoya, depending on who you ask.
Is going to stand in for
Woodbury. They film the entire series around that town, though.
That's about 45 minutes, an hour from where we live.
Yeah, about 45 minutes south of Atlanta.
Yeah.
So, but, of course...
We've driven through there and
several
many,
times.
Many, many times. Yeah.
Yeah. And, of course, you know, with The Walking Dead being set in Georgia already until, you know, later in the comic series.
You got held up by filming one day, didn't you?
I did, actually.
Going to work.
I passed it. I don't know where they were, but I passed it because it...
They had some security.
They advertised on AJC. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution saying there was going to be filming.
And you also passed the gas station where that iconic scene from the pilot episode.
I pass it every day.
At the very beginning takes
place. Going to work now. I call it Zombie Intersection.
Yeah. It's just a little Texaco. They make a hell of a chicken sandwich.
Cascade Palmetto in 92, I think it is.
If you're ever out that way, get the chicken sandwich for Christ's sake.
But I call it Zombie Intersection, and once you've seen The Walking Dead and you realize it's set in an area you live.
Chicken sandwich is people.
You live and you start realizing all the gated communities, not zombie-proof. And there are a lot of gated communities in Metro Atlanta, a lot of gated communities. So, but I digress. So let's talk about The Walking Dead.
Totally don't understand that. Yeah, they don't get that people just climb over gates.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not dealing with a bunch of
the gated community.
Criminal amputees. They have legs and arms. They can climb over the
house. Yeah. So let's talk about The Walking Dead. It's basically where the zombie movie ends.
Yeah, it picks up at the end of the zombie. Rick has missed the end of the zombie movie by the time he wakes up.
It's been 28 days.
And was it really exactly 28 days?
I think they said it was a month.
In the book? Oh, okay.
I think it was like a month later.
So, yeah, it's just, it's life after the zombie apocalypse. At first, it's just survival. Fun and food, staying away from zombies, hacking up zombies.
Killing somebody who gets bit by zombie.
Yeah, having to deal with, yeah, those moral dilemmas there. And
finding out that we are the Walking Dead.
Your sentimental thing. Yeah, they find out that the virus is...
And is all
already in us, and that once we die, we're gonna. There again, there's that Romero tie-in.
Meaning if you get bit or scratched or something, it just means that you're speeding everything up. Mm-hmm. And let me just say this: the Walking Dead comic came out about 3-4 months after the 28 Days Later premiered in the U.S. But knowing how complicated it is to plan comics, he might have had the idea before. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's still scary. No matter what. I don't care. Haters, they go ahead and say it. But no. He wakes up in a hospital from a coma, too. You know what? Think about it. Just think about it. How scary that would be.
What's the old quote? Talent imitates, genius steals. Yeah, that was Picasso.
Yeah.
I don't know. Somebody fact check me on that, please.
But, I mean, he wakes up in a... Think about it. If you wake up in a hospital after being in a coma and there's no one there to help you, it's scary.
And you're a headstrong son of a bitch like Rick is.
Well, he's going through... See, here's the thing. The guy, Cillian Murphy's character in 28 Days Later... Who's, I think, named Jim.
He's a bike messenger, yeah.
He wakes up in the hospital, and there's no threat in the hospital.
He's a regular dude.
There's no threat in the hospital,
though. He does a lot of regular dude stuff after he wakes up. Yeah, but there's no threat. He goes, he walks out
and doesn't meet anybody until way later.
He doesn't so much investigate as he does just sort of...
Get like, dressed and walked out.
What's going on, yeah.
But then...
Not so with...
The Walking Dead...
Yeah.
There is a real threat. It is a bloodbath afterwards. There are bodies everywhere. There are evidence of the military coming in and shooting everybody.
Do not open dead inside.
With the hands. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's just... It's an abandoned hospital in Georgia. But...
Oh, is it? Where is it?
I can't remember. There's a great website, The Walking Dead Locations. Locals here in Georgia... will go around and find where they filmed and post on Google Maps, like the areas they have filmed in. Cool. Like what's the where they had held camp? What's it called by locals? And they called the hospital.
It's called the farm.
The farm.
They do some musical events and stuff out there. It's kind of a hippie thing. But
it's over by our quarry. There really is a quarry.
Yeah, and a great view of the city, which is featured in the show. Also, that's in the northwest part of it.
Just to let you know, because a lot of people don't realize this unless you're local.
Preach it, sister.
Unless you're a local, the famous landscape scene where Rick is riding in on the horse into the city of Atlanta makes it look like he's riding up. They make it sound like he's riding up 85-75.
Wrong.
He's actually That scene is actually coming from the east. He's going east to west what's it called?
Freedom
Parkway.
Yeah.
Going into the city. How do we know this? Because we used to live over in that area.
Freedom Parkway is what it is, but the city is CGI'd, I think. Is it? Or is it?
No, around the road is CGI'd.
Okay.
There are no railroad tracks going like in that along that road.
Well, there's the railroad station.
No. That's way over towards the interstate.
I'm not going to argue.
No, because I'm right.
Okay.
Because I used to drive that way all the time.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway,
stuff. You know, if you're local, there you go. Go.
If you're local, you get to say, I live in the land of the Walking Dead.
Take a tour. It's awesome. There's not much to do or see. But
no,
it's interesting, and there's some good barbecue along the way.
Yep. But anyway, back to the story. People are the danger.
Yeah, that's the thing.
That's the big thing for this season.
Zombies it really doesn't take many issues in before zombies become just sort of rote. As far as killing them goes, it's very easy for the group. to do so. They just become a well-oiled machine. A lot like the premiere of season 3
of
The Walking Dead, which was fantastic.
Carl, instead of going being damn it, Carl, Carl's a badass. You know?
Yeah, no more damn it, Carl, which is
stay
good.
Stay in the house, Carl.
yeah, that never happens.
No.
But yeah, they've become a well-oiled machine when it comes to dealing with zombies, and also the zombies are starting to further deteriorate, which makes them slower and easier to kill.
It's been 14 months.
The focus turns to
people.
Survivors.
Really,
and you've got factions.
Rebuilding
of survivors.
Civilization.
You've got wars between factions. They want the same thing. Maybe
it's become the Middle Ages.
It's really cool how they set that up, and it's set up with the governor early on. He's just an aggressor though. Like he comes in, mows everybody down, and you know he's like, "This is mine. I'm taking it, and I'm gonna kill you."
Read The Rise of the Governor. It does
later
a good backstory.
Later, when it becomes Rick's idea to. Take, what is it, the hill? What do they call it?
If you haven't read the comic books, you're spoiling something.
Yeah, spoiler alert, blah, blah, blah.
It's called Wikipedia, look it up.
Yeah, they start forging an alliance with another group of survivors.
Don't tell who dies.
I'm not going to say it.
Because there are people who are going to be pissed if you say who dies.
And you've got these sort of diplomatic situations going on.
Go kill this group.
Between
for
these
us.
Two groups, you've got
and we'll give
you've
you
got
food.
Diplomatic negotiations as if they were two nations at war, which is really fascinating. I just love how he's depicted the rebuilding of civilization.
I'm looking forward to season 3 and how that's going to go.
With the governor?
Yeah.
The prison?
I think I kind of like who they have playing the governor.
Mm-hmm.
Because he looks more... like it's like almost like the serial killer kind of thing.
Yeah,
he really nice.
Strange
and,
in the comic. He looked like a skinny Danny Trejo.
Yeah. But this
really
he's like
that.
A really nice looking serious guy who's like, yeah... But then, you know, that guy is always the one who's hiding the bodies in the basement.
Exactly, yeah. It all looks good on the
surface.
I
hope they have the heads in jars.
Yes.
I hope they have the heads.
God, yes. Just, there's a clip in the season 3 preview where he's sitting in his chair in his house.
I hope that's the head in jars.
I think they're going to do it. I mean, for Christ's sake, Rick put a machete in somebody's head last week. I mean, just... like that.
You push the zombie
on me. I don't think they're going to wuss out on...
gas mask zombie!
Heads in
gas
a jar.
Gas mask zombie! Oh my god.
That was awesome. That was a really awesome bit of
and your friend knows
makeup
him.
Work there. Yeah.
Your buddy
yeah,
from high school knows him.
Yeah, he knows the extra.
Yeah. And my sister's
very,
no long legless zombie.
Very Tom Savini.
So, yeah.
Moment.
I think the Greg Nicotero, the effects guy, was a... like a mentee... of Tom Savini, like he worked with Tom Savini.
Cool.
Yeah,
it shows. Especially,
I think they want Tom Savini to come in.
Especially the disemboweling scene from last season.
Of
Dale. It was.
Don't get me started.
That was such splatter.
Don't get me started.
Porn.
On
that. Yeah.
Anyway, the show is great. I think the show's getting better this season, and the comic books are just amazing. We finally got caught up. We bought the new one.
Eventually, they're gonna get it right.
Yeah.
Season 1.
Give it time.
Was a little clumsy. Season 2 just really plodded along.
Yeah.
They could have spiced up season 2 if they'd wanted to. There was the whole issue of bandits, you know, attacking the farm and stuff that was in the comic. And it was in the great video game by Telltale Games.
Yeah, definitely, definitely
really
check out the game.
They could have included
different
in season
zombie
2
story.
And something might have actually happened,
yeah.
As opposed to just sitting around and talking about your feelings.
Yeah. But seriously, if you haven't done it, and I will be tweeting Telltale Games saying we mentioned them in our podcast, because they're awesome.
Also Heroes Comics.
Play Telltale Games, The Walking Dead. Kirkman helped him out a little bit, like, with it. He's, you know, busy as is. But they do an amazing job. It's basically another survivors group that you meet some of the other characters from the comic books. But it's another, you know, you always wonder what other survivors are doing in this one.
Story quality is top notch. I mean, it's
story quality is amazing.
It could be the comic or the show.
Yeah. It's really good. So, yeah, Walking Dead. We'll revisit definitely The Walking Dead. You know, I might be coming up with something like that.
One interesting thing to note.
The amputation.
Also borrowed from Romero is the idea that you can amputate a limb to slow the spread of infection.
They do this twice in the comic book.
It's done in Day of the Dead.
Yeah.
It's shown to be somewhat effective. It's a little shaky. In the comic book, it's a little shaky too, because the first person Rick tries it on
dies.
And it's not until the second time that, I mean, he's got the gall to try it again.
On Dale.
Whatever reason.
Dale.
Because it's Dale, and everybody loves Dale.
Dale didn't die like he did.
No, Dale doesn't die in the comics. He stays on through the prison. And
he dies later.
But yeah, he's the one who loses his leg, not Herschel. But, yeah.
Herschel has all his limbs. Anyway, but yeah, so they, you know, first time they go, although I'm telling you, I was on Twitter after that scene in the last week's episode where you think that Herschel's biting Lori,
mm-hmm.
and I screamed.
Yeah, that was
you
great,
jumped.
That was a great moment, yeah.
And everybody on Twitter was like, oh my god!
I was just as startled by your screaming as I was by her.
Yeah. Okay, so let's move on to zombie comedy.
Okay, we sort of covered that with parody. Maybe we should have organized this a little better.
Yeah, it's fine. Zombieland! I love this movie!
That is such a cool movie.
Filmed all in Georgia, so again,
Jesse Eisenberg belongs to this small league of young actors who can only play themselves. I think they should all get together and make a movie. Like, together. They should, like him, Michael Cera, who else? Just these young actors who are pretty much themselves in every single movie.
And they're funny.
That they film.
And really good.
I enjoy watching both
but
of them.
Zombieland, we saw Zombieland when it came out in the theaters. Because it was filmed in Noonan, in Powder Springs, in Valdosta. It was filmed in Atlanta. It filmed all over Georgia, so of course everybody wanted to be a part of it.
Amusement park that was supposedly in California.
It's actually in South Georgia, in Valdosta.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wild Adventures.
Yeah.
And then, but again, it's just, it's such a great movie.
It's fun. And which mythology would you say it most closely follows in regard to zombies?
It's, they kind of tell you how it starts, right? They say it started from a tainted gas station hamburger.
Yeah.
Pink slime.
yeah.
Pink slime.
Yeah, obviously, pink slime.
But, you know, but it also gives you a survival guide.
Yeah, that's
rule number whatever.
Yeah.
Cardio. You know, don't lock yourself in a bathroom. What else? Double tap. Always shoot them twice.
Shoot them twice. That's useful in any horror movie, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because there's always...
They'll come back.
They always come back after you think you've killed them.
The opening montage, though, was great. After they do the little bit... showing what was going on.
Metallica song?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that made our parents, his parents and my parents, not want to watch it.
Didn't see that coming. Yeah. Yeah. That totally turned our parents off of ever enjoying that movie, is watching that splattery, bloody, gory...
If they just got past it, it's a great movie.
Yeah, once you get past that,
it's so funny.
It's
but
like
it's
that.
It's also serious. It's funny, but it also talks about what they lost. You know, his character, Jesse Eisenberg's character, can't get to his parents. He knows his parents are probably dead. You have Emma Stone and Abigail Breslin as sisters who they're the key to each other's survival, no matter before.
They're grifters.
Yeah, before it, which I have to say, I really loved this because Abigail Breslin looks like my baby sister. They're like 2 years apart.
Mm-hmm.
So my baby sister was basically in that movie. Hi, Maggie. She doesn't listen to this.
She's so embarrassed right now.
I'll make her listen to it then. She won't watch the movie either.
No.
But that's okay. She has a phobia of dead people.
Sarah, God.
I know. But also Twinkies.
Twinkies.
Oh, I forgot about Tallahassee's sadness. Tallahassee loses his little son.
His puppy that turns out to be a boy.
His little kid.
Yeah.
That broke my heart. That made me sad.
That was, yeah.
They threw it for a loop.
You're getting sad right now thinking about it.
Because it threw everybody for a loop.
You look distraught.
I do.
Yeah.
I do. Anyway, but just the Twinkies.
Think about
his
puppies.
Obsession for Twinkies. Mm-hmm. And he can't find any Twinkies.
They get a shirt full of snowballs. I hate snowballs.
I hate snowballs too. Twinkies are awesome.
Everybody hates
Twinkies
snowballs.
Is the ultimate survival food.
It's like the fish sandwich at McDonald's. Who eats that?
Really? But Twinkies are the ultimate survival apocalypse food. So
of course, because
he's trying to find them.
The only things that will survive the apocalypse are cockroaches and Twinkies. Yeah.
Although Twinkie says that the Twinkie people say that that's not true. They do have an expiration date.
Twinkie people are full of crap.
Yeah. But, which, if you probably saw the picture floating around the internet of Tallahassee about the swing on somebody's head inside the grocery store, which was an old Winn-Dixie here in Georgia. And there's a box of Twinkies on the shelf.
Yeah.
I will put that up on my Twitter.
Yeah, that's...
It was hilarious.
I wonder if that's an Easter egg or if it was just a mistake.
I think it's an Easter egg.
Yep.
I think it was an Easter egg, because that was an abandoned grocery store.
A little wink.
Yeah, that grocery store was not in operation, so they had to fill it up with stuff. But anyway.
We need to move, we gotta move forward.
But Bill Murray appearing.
God, yeah. I'd heard there was a secret Death Star, and
we
had
all
no
clapped.
Idea who it was, but I was as happy as I always am to see Bill Murray on screen. He was really funny. And then, of course, he meets... An unfortunate demise.
But him dressing up as a zombie so he can go play golf. Meaning zombies are stupid.
Yeah, he puts on makeup.
Walks around and goes plays
and
golf.
And walks around like a zombie.
He said he played golf with Eddie,
zombies.
Zombie Eddie Vedder.
Clearly I remember. I wonder if his jaw got any better in death than it was in life.
Okay, so moving on to other funny things with zombies. Hush. My favorite.
Yes.
Okay, I grew up watching The Simpsons.
Today.
Shut up. And I've watched it since I was 7 when the show premiered. And one of the best zombie things ever, also one of the best Simpson things ever, is from Treehouse of Horror 3 from October of 1992, 20th anniversary this month. And it's Dial-Z for Zombies. Classic zombiness.
It's funny.
You know, Will's dad wouldn't let him watch the show at that time.
He was going through sort of a fundamentalist Christian phase.
But of course, he's become very cool now. We love you, Jim.
He's way cool.
Yeah, so I watched this, though, when I was 10. Huh?
Go ahead.
Oh, you said hi, Dad. Okay. But I watched this when I was 10, and it's just, you know... Bart finds a book in the school's occult section. Why the school has an occult section is great. But he finds a book by Time Life. The Book of Spells. And he's trying to...
the
occult section. I didn't notice that before.
Every bit of that is genius.
But he tries to bring their pet cat back from the dead, only he makes zombies come up. But apparently Springfield is the home to every dead person on the planet.
Really, really famous historical figures. Einstein.
Shakespeare.
Is this the end of zombie Shakespeare?
Classic line. But, you know, there's just the gags in it, the zombies breaking into Homer's house, and... The Simpsons house and knocking on Homer's head and then yelling brains, running off from him, yelling brains.
They don't find what they're looking
for. No. Them running out of the house and they have the shotgun and they go to the book depository, you know. And they go out and he shoots, you see Flanders and he's like, mind if I nibble on your ear? And he shoots him and it's like, Dad,
you shot zombie Flanders.
He was a zombie? But he shoots Einstein, Washington,
yeah.
He shoots Shakespeare.
This was during Conan's years, wasn't
this
it?
This is during the golden age of The Simpsons.
Script editor, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, Krusty on live television getting attacked by Sideshow Mel Zombie. And
just get pulled into the box.
And you have data, technical difficulties, data. You know, and he's like, send your parents' brains to...
Or send a self-addressed
postcard. Self-addressed postcard with parents' brains on it.
I love it.
But TV zombies, they end the show. They save everybody. They, you know, they end the show with them sitting in front of the TV, you know, acting like zombies. You know, man fall down. You know, kind of thing. And then, last but not least, my favorite show, honestly, is Community. And they did a great zombie homage.
Yeah.
With their Halloween episode from season 2.
Yeah. Turns out the Dean cheaped out on
food
for the Halloween dance. And so he served everyone contaminated military rations.
Yeah, it was, and
zombified.
Basically Pierce everybody. Eats it. He gets sick, bites people,
yeah,
and the zombie epidemic spreads.
Pierce would eat it.
Of course. It's not really zombies. They're actually, it's like rabies, but it's still zombie motions and stuff.
Very zombie-ish.
You know, they're not running. They're just like, you know, that kind of thing. All the while ABBA is playing. That scene with Fernando.
The horror.
But the cat joke, you know, it's every horror movie, everybody, the cat being thrown around.
The fake out with the cat.
Three times.
There's like three of them in this episode.
Yeah.
And Jeff says, what's the deal with cats?
Yeah. And it's like, forget zombies. We have to deal with this cat.
We have to deal with this cat problem.
But obviously, you know, in an ode to the Night of the Living Dead, Troy is the last one to make it before he gets bit.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, he's, you know, Abed says, be the black guy that makes it to the end. And he doesn't. He gets bit like three times. He's like, God, okay, I got bit. Oh, my God, stop.
Hit it.
But he, you know, they save everybody and they have to have their memories wiped. But it's just, it's great. I love it. So,
which, by the way, they really need to just
put the show back on the air.
Season 4 on
NBC.
The effing television,
put
please.
Put the show back on.
Hi. Hello, NBC.
I should have already seen the Halloween episode by now.
This is a message from Will Winchester.
And Sarah Winchester.
I'm a person of no note. However,
we are on the AV
Club. I do have a strong opinion about Community.
Just like everybody else who's a fan of that show.
It's almost Halloween. You could pull Mockingbird Lane and just
put,
show the Community Halloween special.
Although, it's Brian Fuller who did Pushing Daisies.
I love Brian Fuller, I know. Yeah. And I'm sure that it's cool and everything.
All right.
How's it going to show in the Halloween special in January?
Not good.
Animal Practice is dead. It's totally dead. Just pull it, put it in its coffin, bury it, forget about it.
Tangent.
Maybe kick it a little bit while it's lying there dead.
Tangent.
And, yeah. That show has a monkey.
And he's boobs.
It is the same monkey.
It is the same monkey. Yeah,
that monkey gets paid a lot.
It does.
Actually, you would be shocked at its salary.
This is a very special episode of the Nerd Story, and just remember that.
Well,
funny.
I thought we had established that they're all special from now on.
Oh, that's right. Well, we're less history this time.
Everybody's a winner.
Yay!
We're all special. The parasites will love you.
Okay, so we've talked about zombies. We've talked about movies with zombies. So what does this teach us about what to do in a zombie apocalypse?
How can we distill all this information?
So
if you happen to find yourself in the midst of a zombie apocalypse, it would probably be wise to keep your head about you.
Be coldly logical.
The people who survive these things are very logical.
Not me.
Not emotional.
Have a really awesome weapon.
Check.
Preferably not a gun.
Yeah. The badasser the weapon, the better off you're gonna be.
Tallahassee from Zombieland had a baseball bat.
Yeah, baseball bat. Anything that bludgeons is basically going to be very cool. Or slicing.
Yep.
Michonne and her swords.
Yep.
Or like an axe. That's both blunt and slicing. So
stay alert.
Best of both worlds.
Don't let your guard
down. Yeah, look around, for God's sake. I mean, it's so many unnecessary casualties in zombie movies because they just didn't watch where they were going.
Check your feelings at the door. If you fall in love with somebody, they'll probably die.
They're going to die, yeah. Or you're going to die, and they're going to have to live out their lives in grief.
Start training now, people. Cardio. Start running now, because you're going to have to outrun. If we learn anything from Dawn of the Dead and other 28 days later, you need to outrun those suckers.
Yeah, Jesse Eisenberg had a point.
Yes. The fat guy does not survive.
You got to work on that cardio.
Yeah. Aim for the head. Always aim for the head.
Yeah, without question. It's going to kill him anyway, but...
aim for the head.
You have the added bonus of...
Destroy the brain.
Just in case. Yeah. That is their weakness.
Double tap.
After all. Always double tap.
Be creative.
Solution-oriented thinking.
Yeah. Like Rick, getting caught on the dead with a dead zombie on him while another zombie tries to get him, put the gun in the mouth, shoot through the dead zombie into the other zombie.
That was super awesome.
Creative.
That was great.
And
I don't know who choreographed that scene. Probably wasn't in the script.
Honestly, if you get caught in a zombie apocalypse, just kill yourself. I mean, really. Do you really want to survive this?
That's really your best option. This thing isn't going away. Do what Cillian Murphy's parents did in 28 Days Later. Write a nice flowery note and just...
They took pills.
End it.
Yeah.
End it all.
So, on a happy note.
Yeah, that's a pretty dark note.
If it's a zombie apocalypse, people. Only if it's a zombie apocalypse.
We do not in any way condone suicide. Unless you're super old and miserable.
Don't get there.
And then it's called euthanasia.
Yeah. That's Will Winchester, everybody. Will Winchester.
That's what I'm here for.
So, yeah, Will.
So, yeah, I guess that wraps up another Nerd Story.
Woo!
Where we talked at great length about zombies and zombie-related matters.
And other stuff.
And, yeah.
Tangents. It was a little less about history this time, but tangents it's just galore. Because I love...
We did dip into recent history.
I love pop culture.
Yeah, recent pop love culture. Love pop culture.
And it's history. Yeah, pop culture is history.
50-something years?
Yeah.
70, 80, if you include a pile of heaping garbage known as White Zombie.
Yes.
But, yeah.
So,
it's been a pleasure entertaining you all. We hope that you stuck with us throughout this entire lengthy, winding conversation.
Yes.
Email us nerdstorian@gmail.com.
Right, or you can follow me on the blog at nerdstorian.wordpress.com, or hit us up on Twitter. You're at what?
The Twitter. I am at W. Wimchester.
That's Wim with an M as in Mary.
W-I-M. Yeah.
And I'm at Nerdstorian on Twitter. Happy Halloween. If you... And if you get this after Halloween, because Halloween is only a couple days from now, when we're recording this. If you get this after Halloween, happy Thanksgiving.
Absolutely. Yeah, enjoy your turkey.
Yes, we will have a Thanksgiving episode. I'm not sure if it's going to be about pilgrims.
If you stumble on this on Labor Day, you know.
Happy Labor Day.
Happy Labor Day.
Happy holiday in the future.
Whatever holiday is closest to the time at which you listen to this podcast, yes. We wish you a happy one.
Yes. So I'm Sarah.
I'm Will.
And we have a happy Halloween, and thanks for listening.
Brains.
Brains.